All right. Thank y'all for coming this morning. It's a good day, right?
Yes.
We get to come share the word together and then hear some preaching this morning, good praise and worship and all of that. It's good to come to the house of the Lord. We've learned, haven't we? It's a place of refuge.
Yes.
The house of the Lord is a place of refuge that God's provided. So we're going to pray this morning. Before we start, and I'm going to pray from this little card here that I have about Ephesians 1 prayer to ask God for revelation. Because as I studied this chapter, oh my goodness, I said, God, I don't feel qualified to to share this chapter of myself. Of course, that's a good way to be all the time when you're ministering, because then it causes you to lean on the Holy Ghost. And so I said, for me personally, I really need some revelation, and I feel like I'm not the only one in the room. I mean, the whole book that we're studying. But anyway, I want us to, we're going to pray this and openly release our heart and our faith that this is what God's going to do for us. So, Father God, we come before you this morning. Here's what we want from you, Father God. We want you to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Father God, so that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Lord, in gaining that wisdom and revelation, we want to know the call of God that's on our life, the inheritance that belongs to us, and the authority we have as a believer. Father, I thank you for helping all of us in this class to see more clearly. Our greatest need is the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and I thank you for opening up our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. That's great. I don't know if you've ever had a hard time saying what Mark Hankins says in this little, he does capsules, the Ephesians 1 prayer, but where he says, my greatest need is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I remember the first time I read that, I went, really? But anyway, it's become a reality in my life, because I can tell you, in praying this prayer, let's see, what does he say? Every breakthrough in faith is a breakthrough in revelation. And that's becoming a reality in my life. And as I started studying this chapter, because we're going to be studying on our authority as a believer, really, I realized that, you know, in praying this prayer, I think it's progressive. You know, we will take the time to read it from Ephesians 1. It's progressive, that prayer is. The prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and he said, I give thanks for you constantly, without ceasing, and whatever. And so it's a progressive prayer. But I believe the prayer itself, as you're praying it down through the verses, is progressive. And it has been for me. You know, I started out praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and then to understand the call of God on my life. And we're not going to break this apart, but I just wanted to expound on it for a second. Then the next thing was the inheritance that belongs to me and the authority I have as a believer. And in my own life, I've seen this work. You know, God's talked to me about the call. And, you know, if we would read it from the scriptures, it says the hope of our calling. And I haven't understood that. And I've asked God to give me some of that, because he says the call of God that's on our life. But it's the hope of our calling. And you know, when you accept Jesus, you receive hope. And that's the hope of our calling. We're called. You know, we're children of God. But I'll just leave that one alone, because I could get sidetracked here. But then, you know, I began to see the inheritance that belongs to me. I began to see who I am in Christ, which has just changed lots of things tremendously in my life. And then the authority I have as a believer. I believe it's progressive. I believe you have to see who you are in Christ, what your inheritance is, before you stand in the place of authority as a believer. Because if you don't see who you are in Christ, you're not going to see yourself righteous. You're not going to see yourself as righteous, for one thing, to stand in your place of authority. And we're going to talk about that as we go into this chapter. So I just see it as... I just felt the need for us to pray that this morning. And really, we should every time we're together. And this is the scripture. We're in chapter 9. For those of you who haven't been here, It says it's time to play offense. This is the scripture. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. That's Psalms 91, verse 13. I can tell you we're not going to go very far today. Because as I was studying this, God gave me some stuff to go with it, some things to go with it. And I thought it was real interesting. Last Sunday, I asked you all at the end of the class, if you would, to join with me in praying what we would do when we finish this book. And I know y'all were praying because insight came to me this week. And I appreciate that. And I've been asking the Lord. And so I thank you that if you did join with me on that. And so, and I got excited. I've got it before the Lord. And I got excited for what I think we'll be doing. But you know what I found myself doing? I think, I'm going to go through this chapter really quick. There's like, I think, 3-4 chapters left. And I thought, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I just cannot. And you know what? That'll cook on the stove. That's sitting on the burner. And it will cook. And there will be a right time for that opportunity that I believe God's opening up for what we're going to study. It's still in the place of prayer. You know, that is if there's not a change in Pastor's heart or if he wants something different for this class. So, you know what? We're going to take our time with this. And we're going to establish some things before we get on over into the book. And if you already know this, praise God. You know, bear with me. But I know I just feel in my heart because God put it on my heart. Not everybody in the room has understanding of this. But it says, do you know that as a believer in Christ, you have authority over the enemy? There's no question that the world is a fallen place and that the devil is the god of this world. It refers to 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Apostle Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we're going to study that in more in depth in the next few pages over. But get this truth into your heart today. We as believers are not called to cower in fear like the people of the world. The devil may be the ruler of this fallen world, but I have good news for you, my friend. God's eternal and everlasting word proclaims that he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And we're going to stop right there because there's something that needs to be established before we go any further. And that is, he said, there is no question that the world is a fallen place and that the devil is the god of this world. That has to be established for us. And maybe you're already established in that, so praise God if you are. And we'll just stir it up just a little bit more. But as I read on, and it says, but get this truth into your heart today as believers. We're not called to cower in fear like the people of the world. The devil may be the ruler of this fallen world, but I have good news for you, my friend. And as I was reading that, I said, okay, God, that what that addresses is, okay, how many of you hear people say God is in control? Okay, yeah. And Kelvin, every time I think of it, I think about what you said to that fellow at work that said God's in control, and you said to him, well, what did you eat this morning for breakfast? He said, well, cereal. And I always remember that. And it's so interesting that yesterday, Dusty and I had plans. And it was our anniversary, and we had certain things we wanted to do. Well, we pretty much didn't do anything that we wanted to do yesterday. Our plans kept getting changed, and it was at one point, this is so interesting for me, because I didn't think I believed this. But our plan got changed, and we went to do something else. And I said out of my mouth, I said, well, God's in control. And then I said, no, he's not. I said, where did that come from? So, you know, we're going to, if there's any inkling in your heart that he's in control, you know, God's in control, I hope we just blow it out of the water this morning, okay? But, you know, that has to be a revelation before we can go further in this chapter. Because you won't stand in your authority in certain places if you believe God's in control. Would you? Because if you believe he's in control, you're not going to want to take authority over it. So this will shed some light and hopefully bring some maybe increase in revelation. Because we need revelation, folks, to stand in our authority. And you know what? It's obvious as the body of Christ. I'm saying the body of Christ in general. It's obvious that the body of Christ does not have a revelation of that. I mean, we stand in authority in places and certain situations. But wouldn't we be seeing some things change? More things change in our lives? I mean, wouldn't we?
Yes.
I mean, if we truly had a revelation that the authority has been given to us and God's not in control. Okay, we're going to share some scriptures. How about that? We're going to share some scriptures. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 4:4 to you, and I'm going to read it out of, I have a Passion Translation Bible here, so you might just want to listen to it. But I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read, I'm going to start at the first verse. Now, it's because of God's mercy that we have been entrusted with the privilege of this new covenant ministry. You know, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and he goes on to say, and we will not quit or faint with weariness. We reject every shameful cover-up and refuse to resort to cunning trickery or distorting the word of God. Instead, we open up our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight and presence of God. Even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing. For their minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the day-spring light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the divine image of God. You know, I think for myself, you know, I could say, you know, God's not in control. You know, we have an adversary and so on and so forth. But going to these scriptures helped to stir that up in me in a way that, you know, maybe it's just for me. I don't think it is. But anyway, there's a footnote in this Bible that says, 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, Satan is called the god of this age. He uses trickery, deceit, accusation, and slander to blind people's hearts. And one thing that he does, I'll just add this to it, in the accusations, the slander, the deceit, and the trickery in blinding people's hearts is to give people a wrong concept of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't see him right. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so, you know, he'll accuse, you know, make accusations to us to bring guilt and condemnation. But, you know, he'll also accuse God to us, mm-hmm. if you listen to it. So, you know, let's look at John 8. Well, you don't hear again. I'm going to read from this, so you might not want to. John 8, 44. They gave some scriptures. John 8:44. You are the offspring of your father, the devil, and you serve your father. This is Jesus talking. And you serve your father very well, passionately carrying out his desires. He's been a murderer right from the start. He never stood with the truth, for he's full of nothing but lies. Lying is his native tongue. He is a master of deception and the father of lies. Did you think sometimes we forget things about the enemy? You know, I think we deal with some things for so long sometimes. How can I say this, Lord? We deal with things and we know we have an enemy and he's the god of this world, but do we know? Okay, and I'm not out, you know, I'm not out to, we're not exalting the enemy here, but as I have said before, we need to know our enemy. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, the body of Christ needs a revelation of the accuser, the one who brings trickery. You know, we wrestle too much or with people, you know, the person at work that made me mad, my in-law that made me mad, my child that made me mad, you know. If we could just stop for a moment when we get mad at somebody, and just stop for a moment and listen to the accusations that are coming up here. You know, we'll never take authority. And I know never is a strong word, but let me just put it, we won't take authority often if we don't remind ourselves of how the enemy works and that he is the God of this world. And that he uses, who does he use? People. Mm-hmm. He uses people. So, you know, I believe like the Lord just wants to establish this in our heart before we go any further in the chapter, because if we don't, we're going to miss some things as we go over further in the chapter. Okay, I'm going to read you another one. This is going to be John 12, 31. I'm going to start with verse 29. The audible voice of God startled the crowd standing nearby. Some thought it was only thunder, yet others said an angel just spoke to him. Then Jesus told them, "The voice you heard was not for my benefit, but for yours, to help you believe. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change." I love this. "For this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. For the ruler of this dark world will be overthrown. For I will do this when I'm lifted up off the ground and when I draw the hearts of people to gather them to me." He said this to indicate that he would die by being lifted up on the throne, on the cross, excuse me. And so, you know what? Satan is the defeated foe. And God left us the authority in the earth. And we're going to learn that as we go along. And it's our responsibility to enforce that authority that's on the earth. And realize that he is a defeated foe. We go from one extreme, I think, to the other, giving him too much credit or not any credit. Okay, let me go to John 14, 30. Let's see. I'm going to start actually in verse 27. "I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Remember what I've told you, that I must go away, but I promise to come back to you. So if you truly love me, you will be glad for me, since I'm returning to my Father who's greater than I. So when all this happens, you will still trust and cling to me. I won't speak with you much longer, for the ruler of this dark world is coming. But he has no power over me, for he has nothing to use against me. I'm doing exactly what the Father destined for me to accomplish, so that the world will discover how much I love my Father. Now come with me." So here again, he's speaking to Satan as the ruler of the dark world that is coming. And then one more, and that's Ephesians 2:2. I'll start with verse 1. "And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God." So, before I go on any further, anybody would you like to expound on this? Make a comment? What do you think? Anything?
Keith Moore was out. We were listening to him this morning. He was preaching along these lines that the devil is, you know, that we live in a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that are happening, you know, people talk about, well, why did this good person, what, you know. And so he was preaching along those same lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it, by and large, the body of Christ doesn't have this revelation.
Right. And I know that most of us in this, we do. But you know what? If somebody said to you, God's in control, could you answer that? I know you can, Kelvin. But can you? Go ahead.
There is an overall control.
Mm-hmm.
God has a set time.
He does.
So to say that he's not in control, that we're the overall, he knows the set time when it's going to end.
Right.
And he can control the hearts of men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should be praying,
mm-hmm.
that give him access to their mm-hmm. hearts, because mm-hmm. he can change hearts.
Yes, he can.
So, you know, he knows the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And he knows what it's going to take to... You know, because of prophecies and
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But to say he's controlling everything, that's definitely...
I mean, that's a great point.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about here, you know, when there's a car wreck or mm-hmm. Some mass whatever.
Yeah,
or
some hurricane or some tornado. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I hear it in songs. I mean, I hear people that do singers that, I mean, and I like their music, but I've seems like maybe I'm just more sensitive to it, but I just hear it more.
Yeah.
And so...
God called them home. God took them.
You know, or just, you know, I mentioned Lauren Daigle last Sunday, where she has this song out and... I can't think of the name of it, but she says in there more several times, God's in control, and however she's singing or whatever. And so, but the point I'm trying to make in this situation is in the place of using our authority.
Well, God's control is vested in us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
And if we use it, then we can. His will be worked through us.
Yeah.
That's God's perfect love. That's what I tried to tell the young man where his son got killed up there. You know,
yeah.
That boy shot him, you know, or stabbed him, and his son died. And they said, "Well, I don't know what to say. Well, he come back to work in a couple of months, and you know, he was sitting there, and he said, "Well, I really don't understand." He said, I've had, I don't know how many preachers stop by the house and just tell me that, well, God done this or God done that. And I was praying before I knew he'd come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat side by side. I said, Lord, what am I going to say to somebody like that?
Yeah.
And it just, as he was talking, I told him, I said, human nature is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but that's the perfect love of God. That you can make every choice because you're created in His image.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, somebody made a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you can make a right choice
mm-hmm.
because you're created in His image.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the true love of God.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That was a good answer.
I think it helped him.
Sure, sure. But repeat what you just said, Gene.
I said God's control is on this earth is vested in us.
Mm-hmm.
We can use it, and if we use it, He'll respond to it. Mm-hmm. But if we let it go, then it's going to be let go because He's not taking all of that on. What am I trying to say? He's not taking that. He's given us free choice to do things.
Right, right.
And with that, He hasn't taken that back.
Right.
I can't remember the scripture that Brother Keith used this morning. But he said, it's something, some of you may know where it is, but whatever things that we entrust to Him, if we give it to Him, whatever we give to Him, then he'll take it and take care of us on that. And he started last week using Psalms 91. That was his scripture last week.
Okay.
And so this whole series, and this is just the second one of them, mm-hmm. but that's what he's talking about, how to walk. It's what you're teaching.
Right.
Is how to walk in what we have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you made a statement at the first of the, that we don't, we might know this, that we're, that God's not in control of everything. And that control is in it, we have that, well, we don't walk in it.
Yeah.
I dare say that everyone in this room this last week let something go that we could have had it made a difference yeah. in.
We really have the responsibility.
Yes, we do.
Because that's a good word. God is vested in us to, bind and loose and speak the word and use the authority that's been given unto us.
Our part in advancing the kingdom.
Right.
We know we go back to the cross. When Jesus died and left us the Holy Spirit, is that what you're saying, Jim? That's vested in us, that we take that power that was left here to us to take control over mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And he'll guide us. He'll let us know what to do,
mm-hmm.
but he won't do it.
That's right.
That's why you've got to take the time to pray
and
show me my part.
Yeah. And we all have different arenas.
That's right.
We all have different areas where God will use us to pray often.
Mm-hmm.
We have one common area is Operation School Guard, for us. But then we all have different. I don't pray for Volvo a lot, but I bet you pray for Volvo a lot because that's where you work. That's where you spend a lot of time, But I have other areas and family members and, so on and so forth. But, I think sometimes, don't you think sometimes we pray and we put it over on God? And God, if we will be listening, he says, I've given you authority in that arena of your life, and but we're waiting on God.
Yeah.
I guess that's the point we're trying to make this morning, that we get shook out of that place where we're waiting on God to maybe do something.
We put up with stuff that we don't have to put up with,
mm-hmm.
and even though we know some of these things, we put up with
it. We do.
We put up with stuff in our bodies that we don't have to put up with.
Yes. So, one situation comes to my thinking with just someone in my family that's not been in a good relationship. And I was praying one day, and I want to tell you what God said to me. He said, you haven't asked me to remove him. That's what he said to me. I know it was God. I mean, because I didn't feel like I could pray that way. I'll be honest with you. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, But he said, you haven't asked me to remove him. I said, okay, God, I'm going to be quick to ask you to remove him. And I know that's in the works, just because of whatever. But, that was a place of, I don't know. You listen for those kind of things when you're praying in situations. Because I know that, we don't have authority over other people.
That's right.
See, I don't have authority over him as far as...
But you do, the Spirit is
driving. But I do, when it concerns somebody in my family, mm-hmm. I can ask of God to, in that situation, I don't know. There's a lot to learn in this area.
Paul turned around and pointed at one and caused blindness to come on him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some authority here that we definitely don't understand.
Yes. And, I believe God's just really wanting to bring some understanding to us. Because, I've always been taught that I have I have, my realm of authority is my family. I don't have authority in Carol's family, spiritually. I've always been taught that. I can't give you a scripture for that, but I've always been taught that. And so, you know, we have authority in our government because we're told to pray from the Word for, you know, those in authority over us and so on and so forth. So, you know, let's just, in the next week or two or however we, let's just be asking God, you know, to just really give us understanding like we really, really, really have need of. And if you have understanding, you know, I want you to speak out. Because this is how revelation works. Hold just a second. This is just how revelation works. It doesn't all come from right here. It comes, you know, we're seasoned people in this room.
But, you know, you go back to what you're saying, but like everybody in here, if we say, okay, I want you to pray for somebody in our family, then would that be giving you the authority to pray for us to...
It's a good question.
To move it, you know, more... You know what I'm trying to say? More power, more agreement. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Would that?
Well, it's scriptural to pray the prayer of agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew 18:19 tells us that. So that is scriptural that we can agree. But just to out of the blue take authority over somebody in your family, you know, without permission or even telling the person, you know, I don't think so.
See, I feel like I do have authority in my family, my seed. Because the seed of the righteous shall be delivered, and so on and so forth. But one thing that I've learned in reading this book is in exercising my authority, it's more than just saying, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It's a lot more than that.
Absolutely.
And I'm learning, and here we're going to go back to the Word again. We've gone several times. The emphasis has been, you know, on the Word of God in this book. I know that you've seen that. But it's like that is one of the major places that we stand in is with the Word of God as far as our authority is concerned. But because all the, you know, the scriptures are God, a yes and amen. And we can use those scriptures. And, you know, we know from Jesus' experience in the wilderness, is saying it is written, you know, and Jesus was giving us an example of how to use the authority that was going to be given unto us as the church, was it not? You know, we have that authority to use the written word of God. And Father God's just waiting, man, he's just waiting for us to stand in that place. And the things that we're putting up with, let's just, you know what, the things we're putting up with, if you don't have a scripture, you know, of course, if it's being bought, paid for at the cross, you know, you've got your rights that, you know, as far as healing is concerned, we ask for it and then we just thank him for it and so on and so forth. But let God give you a specific scripture that works in the situation that you're in. And sometimes might surprise you what he'll give you because, you know, God's real good at going to the roots of things. But, you know, you stand in that place. What did we learn last chapter? When we speak out the word of God, we have angels that exceed in strength. And I don't think I quoted that right, but anyway, they're strong. And they watch over. God watches over that word, and they'll do the bidding of that word. And I just realized in doing that chapter, I don't send the word out enough. I don't keep my angels busy enough. But, man, that's changed, beginning to change, and changing even more. And that here, as we read on, is a place of standing in the authority that we have as a believer. So, not that we don't say, I bind such and such spirit in the name of Jesus. Y'all hear me when I say that, right? You mean, that's what we... But you know, we oftentimes, when we pray for somebody, you know, and that'll rise up in our heart, and that's good that we do that and everything. But man, what I think I'm learning is when I'm praying, let's say Carol says to me, I want you to pray for me about such and such, is that, you know, I'm under attack about whatever. You know, we do that, but man, you start saying what the covenant says about Carol. You start speaking that out of your mouth because it's covenant. Mm-hmm. It's a promise that cannot be broken. That's what covenant is, and y'all know that. Bought by the blood. You plead the blood and you start speaking covenant over somebody that needs you to pray for them. I'm telling you what, that gets God's attention, it gets the angels' attention, it gets the Holy Ghost's attention, it gets Jesus' attention, and then you can begin to see things happen. But, you know, if you're praying the circumstances, which we sometimes do, you know, that doesn't go very far. But, you know, we have the authority to use the Word of God. He ends that second paragraph that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. You know, as the body of Christ, we really need a revelation of that. Yeah. Who's in me is great.
Something just come to me. As you said, mm-hmm. that sometimes we get caught in praying the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you're praying the circumstance, then the Holy Spirit can bring to you the Word mm-hmm. that covers that circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can, you know, because that's kind of like what Psalms are.
David did the same thing.
This is bad, this is bad, this is bad.
Yeah.
But the God who...
But God.
Yeah.
But so, God. So, mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep. I think there's a place for that. You know, I just pray for the body of Christ that a tenacity will rise up on the inside of us. You know, and say enough is enough. Just a tenacity. Don't you think we need a tenacity?
Yes.
To rise up on the inside of us and say, you know what? Devil, this is enough. Draw a line. Demarcation line of the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And once we declare what has been said, then we don't back off of it. We can continue to
declare
just
that.
Just like an army moving forward, we continue to move against the enemy's deceptions and ways of avoiding this thing. I mean, he's a dancing around trying to avoid what we're saying, but we just keep right on.
Yeah, we keep on.
And we win.
Yep.
But if we quit, we lose.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, we've already won.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that God's wanting to bring us to, is we've already won.
Yeah.
This is already mine. It's already been bought and paid for.
But if we don't use it, it...
Yeah.
And if we don't understand it, then I think
and that's
so much
the key.
Of the church just simply does not understand what's being talked about here this morning.
Right. And part of the reason that we don't understand it is we don't have a revelation of it. I hope y'all never get tired of hearing me talk about revelation. But I can tell you it's the key to everything. Every breakthrough in faith comes from a breakthrough in revelation. You get a breakthrough in revelation, you'll get a breakthrough in what you're standing for. I mean, I believe that with all of my heart. And in fact, probably next week, when we go on a little bit further, the Lord showed me to read you something out of Brother Hagin's book, Authority of the Believer. And he starts out the book talking about the Ephesians 1 prayer. And what a difference that it made in his life. And that things started turning around, you know, after he started praying the Ephesians 1 prayer. And, you know, I think that's, Gene, that's part of what we need.
Yeah.
We need to pray that. And if Paul said, I don't cease from praying for you, the church at Ephesus, then we should not cease from praying for people. In fact, he gives an example that he had a friend that needed some answers. And he said, I started praying that for a friend, and in 10 days, that person saw what they needed to see. And so that's the key. You know, revelation, I know I found myself quoting this quote from Mark Hankins that, you know, information just affects your mind, but revelation affects your heart. And I was leaving the last part out, but revelation affects your heart and your voice. And what do we use in our voice to take authority? What do we use to take authority? Our voice. The devil cannot read our mind, as some people think that he can. Now, he reads our actions and what we do, what we say out of our mouth. He's, you know, familiar spirits. And because of that, then he gives him an idea of our weak places where he can shoot and whatever, attack. So, but our authority has to come out of our mouth. So where do you need revelation? Please don't give up on that prayer. Because you get a revelation, it'll change your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It'll change your heart. And out of your mouth will start coming, you'll decree and you'll declare and you'll stand on what you need to stand on.
And that's where you'll stand and keep on fighting.
Keep on standing.
I'm talking about a minute ago, when you know you're right, you're right, because that's what God said. You know it. I mean, His Word said it, and you standing on it, and you keep on pounding on it, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but you have to have revelation.
You do.
Because if you're just trying it out to see if it's going to work, you won't last very long. If you're just trying it out because the Word says that you have authority over blah, 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 blah. You know, you're just trying it out. Ask me how I know. I don't last very long. Okay, we got to quit. Got to get. Thank y'all.